Now Rav Nosson goes back to a topic that he touched on before, about the fact that what made Moshe Rabbeinu realize what was keeping the Jews in Golos. And why is it that the Jews get dumped, you know, and get so much junk dumped on them from all the other nations of the world? When did he realize it? When he saw machloket among the Jews, when he saw Dosan Vaviram fighting. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes back to that point and adds an unbelievable clincher. V'alkein oz kishero Moshe shiesh machlokes v'hakoz v'chabolos ben Yisrael v'atzmon. When Moshe Rabbeinu observed that the Jews are fighting among themselves, shezeu b'chinas pigama kovoid. Well, we said earlier that's the worst pigama kovoid, because kovoid is shayach to the Jews, and each Jew is obligated to be mechaber the other Jew. V'alkein omar oche noida dovor. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu said, now I understand. That this is the main thing that's keeping the Jews that in Golos. Because the minute there's infighting, the minute the Jews mess up the Kavoid, Hashem says, you don't deserve it, give it to them. He gives it to the Goyim, and suddenly all the Jews are in the garbage, and the Goyim are on top of us. They're the ones, the Kavoid and the Malchus is in there, they're in charge. As we explained earlier. So now let's take a look, Rav Nosson Zal says. What happened right after that incident? What happened after when they said to him, hey, you're gonna kill us like you killed them? And they went and snitched to Paro. They said, there's a murderer here in Egypt. And Paro said, oh, we're honest here. Murderer, let's try him. And they grabbed Moshe Rabbeinu, and even though he was a child at the time, and they took him and they wanted to test him, see if he was in fact the Moshion of the Jews or not. They put a set of hot coals in front of him, and they put a crown in front of him. Now, a child, usually when a child sees coals glowing fire, it'll be more attracted to them than it would even to a crown. Even though a crown is gold, glowing coals would be more attractive. So they said, if he goes for the coals, then he's a regular kid. If he goes for the crown, this might very well be the Jew whom the stargazers had seen is going to be the one who's going to take away the crown from Paro. You know, he's going to take leadership of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was about to reach for the crown, and the Malach Gavriel, I believe, came down and pushed his hand and went for the coals. but Paro saw this. Paro saw that he had reached for the crown originally. So he had a soldier pull his sword immediately and try to slice off Moshe Rabbeinu's head. So the Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu's neck turned into a rock. They slammed the rock and nothing happened. And then Moshe Rabbeinu took off. He cut out. He ran away. He escaped from Mitzrayim. And he ran to Midian. That's when he ran to Midian. And that's when he met his wife Tzipora and married her and that whole story. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Al Kain Oz Borach Moshe Eitzel Yisroi. This is why we find immediately after the incident of seeing the two Jews fighting, suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu takes off and goes to Midian, v'lokach bas Yisroi, and he marries the daughter of the Pope, the daughter of Yisroi, the Yisroi Nizgayer, and Yisroi ends up converting, v'hoisiv parsha b'Torah, and a whole parsha gets added to the Torah of judges. The whole parsha of setting up the court system for Klal Yisroel came from v'ato sechzeh, came from Yisroi, v'nismecho parsha shaloi l'parsha smachim Torah. And the portion of the Torah which Yisroi contributed, which is the portion of, you know, making, setting up a court system for the Jews, is put right next to the Aseres HaDibros, the Matan Torah. Ki Iker Matan Torah Hoyalidei Bias Yisroi. Because the main event that caused Hashem to give the Torah to the Jewish people and to the world was Yisroi's conversion. Ukemuva Bezoira Kodesh, as is written clearly in the Zohar HaKadosh. Umatan Torah Zehu Iker Yitzias Mitzrayim. And we talk about Hashem giving the Torah to the Jews. That was the main purpose, the getting out of Egypt. Ki Iker Yitzias Mitzrayim Hoyo Bizchus Sheyekablu Yisrael Es HaTorah. The main reason why Hashem let the Jews get out of Egypt was on condition that they would be receiving the Torah. Kamo Shapirish Rashi Al Posuk Bo Yitziach Oesomi Mitzrayim Ta'avduna selukim ala horazeh, yayin shom. As Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when you take the Jews out of Egypt, you're going to see that they're going to serve me on this mountain. And the mountain that he was on at the time was Har Sinai. And Rashi says over there, Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the deal. The only way they're going out of there is on condition that they're going to accept the Torah. So we see that the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah. So now, why, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the whole deal with Dasan Daviram, why did that make him fly to Midian and go get married and Yisroel converted? Rav Nosenthal says that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Kovod had gotten so messed up by the fact that the Jews had infighting, that we were fighting among ourselves, Sheyesh Beneim Machloikes V'Hakoyes, where there's fighting and actually coming to physical blows, Shaydeze Ikar Arichas HaGolos Kanal, which is the main crime that causes the Jews to be in Golos for a long time, Al Kain Choshav Machshovois Lahalois HaKovod Me'asachra, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to figure out what could he do to take the Kovod out of the hands of the Sitra. He knew when the Jews fight, what happens? The Kovod is taken away from the Yidden, and it's sent over to the other side, to the Sitra Achra. Now Moshe Rabbeinu had to figure out what could he do that would take the Kovod away from the Sitra Achra and bring it back to the Kedusha. Ulahagdiloi b'yoser, and to elevate it to the highest degree possible. Kedei sheyistakin hakoil al yidezeh, and thereby make a complete fix. Al kein cholach etzel Yisroi. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu headed for Yisroi. He looked to find which person on earth is the furthest person away from Hashem. And he looked, found Yisroi, v'diber imoi, and he spoke to Yisroi for hours or days or weeks until ad shenizgayer al yodoi, to the point where Moshe Rabbeinu got Yisroi to convert, v'niskari vel hakdusha, and he brought him into the Kedusha. V'geirus Yisroi ze ikra ha'olas ha'kovoid mitoikef ha'sitrachra. And being able to take a person like Yisroi and get him to convert, that represents the highest degree of elevating the Kovoid from the Sitrachra and bringing it into the Kedusha. K'muva b'divrei Rabbeinu Zal kamakomim, as is brought in many places in the Kutimran. K'may shekosu b'zoyar, as is written as Zoyar Kodesh. Kad osi Yisroi, when Yisroi came along and joined the Jewish people, kedain istalik v'isyakar shmo de kutshebrichu elo v'sato. That caused the greatest heightening of the name of Hashem, of the kovod of Hashem, above and below, in heaven and on earth. She'oz nizgadel v'nisalek kvoido yisporach ma'oid ma'oid. This caused the kovod of Hashem to be elevated very, very much. That imagine, this guy who's the last person on earth that you would ever imagine would accept Hashem. Why? Because he worshipped every other idol in the world. And he said, Ato Yodati, I admit, Ki Godoil Hashem Yikol Elkin, that out of all the idols that I've ever worshipped, Hashem, you're the best, you're the greatest. Ukemay Shekosuv, and as the Pasuk says, Rom Al Kol Goyim Hashem, Al Hashomayim Kivoidoi. Shekivoidoi nisale l'shamayim. When is Hashem's kovoid elevated to shamayim? In other words, all the way to the top. When does it hit? You know, the when does it ring the bell and going all the way up to the top? Kishehu meroimam al kol goyim. When Hashem is accepted by all the goyim, that's the biggest kovoid to Hashem. As the pasuk says, Havu l'Hashem mishpachoy samim, Havu l'Hashem kovoid voiz. That when the nations of the world, when they come and accept Hashem, that's the greatest kavod Hashem. Dahinu, kishagoyim chayis remeilov umizgayrim, kimavur ze b'divra benazal, as is brought in the Kutim Ran, that's the highest kiddush Hashem. Nimtza, shalidei sheholach Moshe liYisroi, v'goram shenizgayr al yodoi, aydei ze heles hakavod b'yoser mitokav hasitracha. Look how sharp Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the matzav in Klal Yisrael. He saw that the Yidden are in a lot of trouble, that they fall into such a level that they're punching each other out. Dosan Aviram ready to kill each other. And he saw that he tried talking to them, getting nowhere. So he knew that the Kovod, the Kedusha, is lost. The Yidden lost it. It's by the Sitra Achra. What did he do? He took out his telescope. He looked for the Sitra Achra. He looked for the furthest place in the Sitra Achra, the lowest of the low, the bottom. And he went to him to bring him into the Kedusha, knowing that there's nothing that will make a bigger splash of Kovod the Kedusha than taking this super, super Shegetz and making a yid out of him, making a tzaddik out of him, where he added a parsha to the Torah and all of these things. Now you would say, so then all of us should go out and do this. We know there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says a Jew is not allowed to go looking for gerim. On the contrary, when they come, you're supposed to push them off and everything. The answer is, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew whom you're allowed to be makara, whom you're not. A person like us, we're not allowed to do this. Because we don't know whether the person, whether the guy you're going to try to be makara is from Klipas Noiga, or he's from the other three. Whether he's from those that you're not supposed to be makara, or he knows that you are. Whereas these super tzaddikim, Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, they were qualified to be able to know who you're allowed, you know, who to be makarav. Dehainu kishemishtadlim lohoshiv lashem yisborach es horechoikim mo'oid mo'oid b'kdushosoy. When a Jew is zoicha to put effort into trying to bring close those who are very, very far from Hashem, hein Yisrael, whether it's Jews who are very, very far from their Yiddishkeit. They have no idea that they're Jewish, and they have no idea what Jewish means, that it's not chicken soup, and it's not Medinat Yisrael, but Judaism is something completely, it's observing the Torah, Hein Yisrael, and Hein Gerim. Whether it's taking Jews who are very far from their Yiddishkeit and bringing them close, or Lahavdil, taking those Goyim who are qualified to become Gerim and bringing them close. A Jew who does that elevates the kovoid and fixes it up tremendously. This is one of the highest forms of tikkun hakovoid kedusha. Because you're taking the kovoid from the worst depths of the sidra achra, by they say nichna kovoid the sidra achra v'yotzman agolos kanal v'alkein hishtadel Moshe Rabbeinu alzeh b'yoyser. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu put his maximum effort into this area. The Alkein Holachetzel Yisroi, the Gairoi, Kiro Sha Sidrachro his Gabro. He saw that the Sidrachro is very powerful. The Rotzol Lifkoin is a Kovid Ikdushan. It wants to mess up the Kovid. The Alkein is Gabro al Yisrael Biatzmon da Kovid Shalahem. And that's why the Sidrachro got so bad, to the point where among the Yidden themselves, the Sidrachro was in control. Where a Yid is ready to spit on another Yid. At Shehim Biatzmon Pogmo ba Kovid. That's the fighting that Moshe Rabbeinu witnessed among the Jews. That's what keeps the Jews in Golos for a long time. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He went to the opposite extreme. He went to the kiyim im ikesh tispato. The pasuk says, if you're dealing with a guy that's straight, deal straight with him. If you're dealing with a guy that's crooked, you gotta be prepared, you gotta be able to play his game. If he saw that the Sidra Achra had crawled into the Jewish people, into the religious people, and caused them to spit on each other, where they're stepping on the Kovei Dikdusha, he knows that the Sidra Achra had parachuted into the Jewish camp and was running wild there, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He put on his parachute, and he did a parachute thing. He went into the furthest depths of the Sidra Achra, parachuted into there, into Yisroi's house, and made a Jew out of him. Brought him close to the Kovei Dikdusha. V'oso la Sidra Achra mida b'mida. He did a reverse. Ki holach el toikif ha-Sidra Achra shehu Yisroi. He went to the furthest guy possible from Hashem, which is Yisroi, where the Torah testifies there wasn't a single idol that Yisroi hadn't worshipped. Now, Rav Nosson Zal fills in a couple of words here that when they teach you Chumash in school, you don't read it. We just read that Yisroi converted and they made a birthday cake and they lived happily. It doesn't say that Yisroi didn't convert through Abraham. How did he convert? What happened? He drank some wine. He was a yo-yo. One day he was into other religions. The next day he got into Judaism. Nothing like Yisroi was the Pope. Let's see somebody today convert the Pope. How many months and what kind of genius and what kind of kiddusha would it take for somebody to be able to convince the Pope to become a shemeshah, to become a religious Jew? Rav Nosson Zal fills in those words here. This wasn't abracadabra. Moshe Rabbeinu went and spoke to him and spent, who knows how much effort he spent, Ad Sheheir Einov, to the point where he opened his eyes. Ad Shenizgal Eloi Hoemes, to the point where Yisroi realized the truth. V'shov l'Hashem Yisborach v'nizgayer v'aydeze nis'alef v'nisyakir shmo Yisborach ma'oid v'nizgadel kvoid anoy. And this caused the most unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. Nimtza behel Moshe sakovoy mitoykev ha'sidrachra behepech mamish mikavona sabaldova ba'sidrachra sherotze l'zgabar al Yisrael b'atzmam shehem b'atzmam yifgemu chasvashon ba'kovod ha'machlokes. The Sidrachra wanted to come into the Jewish camp and get the Yidden to mess up the Kavod to the worst degree. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He snuck into the Sidrachra's camp and took his best customer and stole him away from him. Ki adrabba, Moshe zocha lahalois ha-Kavod u-lahagdiloi mitoikif ha-Sidrachra alidei shegiris Yisroi. V'aydei toikif ha-olas ha-Kavod shezocha Moshe lahalois mitoikif ha-Sidrachra by doing that, he made the most unbelievable tikkun for the kavod kedusha. Now watch Rav Nosazal's words here. Achideze memelo nizbatel b'miyutoi pegam hakavod shoyu bein Yisrael v'atzmo. A person would say, "Hold on a second. So what? Moshe Rabbeinu was one guy. Moshe Rabbeinu was Makariv Yisroi." For starters, we have two against one. If you have two Jews that are insulting Hashem in the worst way possible, how do Jews insult Hashem in the worst way possible? Not if they don't wear tzitzit, so they won't wear tefillin. If they spit on each other. If a Jew says, you're a zero, you're a nothing, when Jews disrespect each other, that's the worst chilul Hashem. That's the worst insult Hashem. So you should say, two against one. You know, Rav Nosazal writes here, it's not... So, or you would say, so what? So he was Makar of Yisroi, that was Tikkun HaKavod, and Yidden are fighting, that's Pekan HaKavod. So it should add up to zero. Rav Nosazal says, you don't know your mathematics. It doesn't add up to zero. We know in Yiddishkeit, there's Botel B'shishim, there's Botel... You can have a piece of Chazer, and the Chazer can become kosher. How? If accidentally it falls into a pot, it looks exactly like 60 pieces of kosher meat. And it falls into a pot of kosher meat, and you can't identify it, becomes kosher. So here also, true, there was infighting among the Jews, there was pigama kovod. Moshe Rabbeinu's act of going parachuting and capturing the flag, capturing the best customer to Sidrachra, that scored 50 billion watts of kovod, where all the machlokes among all the Jews put together, at best, equaled 1 billion watts of treif, of aveira. Moshe Rabbeinu wiped it out, bottled in the utero. He understood, that's why he understood he had to take the most extreme candidate. Capture him, he won the war. Just like Lahavdil B'Gashmius. You have cases of two armies going to war. One army is wiping the floor with the other one. Suddenly one guy goes and kills the king with a prince. And suddenly it's a reversal. Suddenly, what do you mean they? How could they win? They were losing by 1,000 miles. They won because the other guy captured the flag. Gamarnu. You can have 50 more men in it. It doesn't matter. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. That's the ingenuity here. That's the tzaddik emes, you know, that knew to do this. Ukamayshe kosov shom, as the Torah testifies over there. As the Torah testifies, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu when after he scored with Yisroi, Hashem said to him, Lech shuv, now you can go back down to Egypt. Ki meisu kol ho'anoshim ha'mevakshim es nafshecha. Because all of those people who wanted to kill you are dead. Dothan Babiram, who wanted to try to get you killed, are dead. Shehoidi ala Moshe, Hashem informed Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehoanoshim shehirbu machlekes b'Yisrael, that these characters who brought this super machlekes in Klal Yisrael, upokmu ba'kovod, and messed up the kovod, v'gormu aricha sagolus, and caused the super golus, kvar meisu, they're already dead. How did they die? They didn't physically die. We see them appearing when the Jews are traveling in the desert. Shenasu aniyim. They lost their money, the Gemara says. Their money supply got cut off. V'nizbat el koichon. And once they have no money, they have no power. Ki chashuvim kemesim. A poor man is considered dead. Ve'im lehem oid koyach leharbois machlekes v'lifkoim b'kovod ikdusha b'kovod atzadik emes. They have no money, they can't be poigim in kovod ikdusha and in the kovod atzadik emes. Because explains here, by Moshe Rabbeinu scoring such an unbelievable hit in capturing the flag, capturing the king of the Sitra Achra, Yisro, and converting him, he wiped out, that outweighed completely the machlekes of Dosma. All of that became zero in comparison to what he scored. Shezeo b'chinas geirus Yisroi, shehishtadel Moshe, which Moshe Rabbeinu put such effort into, shaydezeh nistakeim t'gam ha-machlekes v'ako, shero t'chilo, shomar lahem, olav ochein od ha-dovor, shaydezeh ariches ha-golos. Kaidei kirva sorechoikim, because through this act of taking people that are far from Yiddishkeit, far from Kedusha, and bringing them close, shehu b'chinas geirus Yisroi, which one of the most outstanding examples of this is, taking Yisroi and converting him, Nis'ale v'nistakein hakovoid b'yoser. That's what makes the greatest tikkun hakovoid of Hashem's kovoid, of the kovoid of Klal Yisrael, v'ydezeh nistakein hakoil. And that fixes everything, v'zochu l'gulos. And then they were ready to be taken out. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu converted Yisrael, and now the next paragraph, Rav Moshe Zalman is going to explain what about this marrying Tzipora bit. He's going to give a whole clear explanation on that. Then he was ready to take, then he won the war. He single-handedly was massacring the mess that Klal Yisrael had at the time of all the machlekes and sinon and stuff that was going on. Rav Nosson Zal says, "Ubishvil zeh lokach Moshe as Yisrael." Now we'll also explain why Moshe Rabbeinu married the daughter of Yisrael. Ki kvar mavura al pi homer lamalo. We had already explained earlier, "Sheisho yiras Hashem ki bechinas hakovoy dikdusha." That the woman, the religious, a religious woman, symbolizes kovoid of kedusha, holy respectability. Shehi bechinas chava, aim kol choy kanal. Because the first woman that Hashem created was called chava, and it's written in the Torah, why was she called chava? Because she was aim kol chai. She was the mother of all of creation. And we know that the throne of Hashem is also called aim kol chai, the mother of all of creation. Because all the souls come from there. So that Chava is associated with the Kisei HaKovoy. That's the terminology that's used. Ulehepech, Isha Zoino Basakum, Hi Bechinas HaKovoy de Sitra Achra. Whereas, a Tomei woman, a bad woman, is referred to as Kovoy de Sitra Achra. Umoshe Rabbeinu Bekoichoy, a non-Jewish woman, represents Kovoy de Sitra Achra. Umoshe Rabbeinu Bekoichoy HaGodol, Zocho legayer es Yisroi ubitoi. Moshe Rabbeinu, with his immense power, had the ability to convert Yisroi and his daughter. At shezocho lahalo ises hakovoi chubchinas chavo isha bchinas bas Yisroi mitoch toikef asitra achra, to the point where he had the ability to elevate the kovoid, which is symbolized by Yisroi and his daughter, to elevate it from the lowest place, from within the depths of the sitra achra. Velokhla Elov, and to bring her to him. Kihelo esakovoid mitoikef hasitra achra elakdusha. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to elevate the kovoid from the depths of the sitra achra and bring it into the kedusha. Shalidezeh hoyo ikar gulas Mitzrayim kanal. And that's what resulted in the Yidden being taken out of Golos. When a Jew succeeds in taking the kovoid out of the hands of the sitra achra and bringing it into the kedusha in a big, big way, that results in the Jewish nefoshos being taken out of the control of the Sitra Achra and being brought out. Ubozeh tikenes pegam ha-hakois v'chavolos. This is how Moshe Rabbeinu fixed up the destruction that was caused by the infighting among Klal Yisrael at the time. Shu b'chinas pegam ha-kovoid, which we said is an example of pegam ha-kovoid. Shenimshach michet odom arishin kanal, which originates from the pegam of odom arishin. Shemishom nimshach ha-hakov ha-retzicha rishonah sheboilam, which is what caused the first murder in the world, Cain and Hevel, which was an extension, a continuation of the pegam of the Eitz Hadas. Shemehem nimshach in kol ha-hakois va-retzichois va-melchomois, which is the foundation of all murders and all fights that go on in the world. They all built on the foundation of that original fight between Cain and Hevel, which was an extension of the pegam of the Eitz Hadas. kimavur bekisvei ha'arizal. It's explained in the writings of the Arizal, shetzipoira eshes Moshe, that Tzipoira, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, was actually a gilgul, a reincarnation of the Toima Yisera of Hevel, the extra twin sister of Hevel, Sheharogoi Kayin b'shvil zeh. It was out of jealousy over the fact that Kayin was only born with one twin sister, and Hevel was born with two twin sisters. And in those days, they married these twin sisters. So Kayin was jealous for the fact that he was going to have only one wife, and Hevel was going to have two. Kemoi Sham Razal, as the Gemara says, the Gemara mentions this. The Gemara says that he killed him because of the extra twin sister. The Arizal reveals that Tzipora, the daughter of Yisro, was the reincarnation of that extra twin sister. Vigam Isa Sham, and the Arizal writes in addition, Shehamitzri Shehorag Moshe Alvar Hahako, that when Moshe Rabbeinu killed an Egyptian because he saw the Egyptian beating up a Jew, Hoya Migilgulei Kayin, Ayin Sham, that Egyptian was a Gilgul of Kayin. The Alkain, the Arizal brings this on a Pasuk. There's a Pasuk in Bereishis where Hashem is speaking to Kayin after Kayin murdered Hevel, and Hashem says, Shivosayim Yukam Kayin, that Kayin's tikkun will be over a period of 7 generations, Shivosayim, or 49, the number Shivosayim over there. So the Arizal says that the word Yukam, that word Yukam is Marames for 3 of the major reincarnations that Kayin had to go through in order to get a tikkun. The Yud stands for Yisroi, who was a Gilgal of Kayin, and this is why when Rashi and Chumash lists the 7 names of Yisroi, one of them is Kaini, Miloshin Kayin, and the Kuf stands for Koirach, who was also a Gilgal of Kayin, and the Mem stands for the Mitzri, the Egyptian whom he killed. V'alkein al yedei shelokach Moshe Tzipoira bas Yisroi, through the act of Moshe Rabbeinu taking the daughter of Yisroi, Tzipoira, and thereby elevating the kovoid from the depths of the sidrachro, by doing that he made a tikkun for the kovoid, which means a tikkun for all the fighting and murder. Thereby he made a tikkun for the whole machloikis between Kayin and Hevel. And by doing that, he removed the machloikis among Klal Yisrael, which was all based on that original machloikis between Kayin and Hevel. That was what caused these 2 events that Moshe Rabbeinu had witnessed, the Egyptian fighting with the Jew over the Jew's wife. That was the whole incident there. The Egyptian went and took the Jew's wife. And when the Jew found out about it, and the Jew wanted to kill the Egyptian, that was when the fight broke out. Moshe Rabbeinu saw it, and Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian. And that Egyptian was a Gilgal of Kayin. And there he paid him back. Kayin had killed Hevel, now Hevel killed him back. Ki hakoil nimshach mishom, because all the machlokes in the world, and all the murders in the world, and all of that, originates from Kayin Hevel. Vayidei shegier es Yisroi, and through the act of Moshe Rabbeinu converting Yisroi, Vehelo hakovoid mitoikav hasitrachra, elevating the kovoid from the super sitrachra, ad shehoye yochel likach es bitoi lahachzer hakovoid lakdusha yideizeh, to the point where Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take the daughter of Yisroi and marry her in kedusha and bring this kovoid back, yideizeh nistakein hakoil. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu made a tikkun for all the pigam in kovoid. And this is what gave him the ability to take Klal Yisrael out of Golus. Because the main Geula comes about through Tikkun HaKovoid. The whole concept of the Jews being in Golus is based on Pigamen Kovoid, when we disgrace the honor of Hashem, and the Jews coming out of Golus is dependent on Tikkun HaKovoid. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds, take a look in the writings of the Arizal, how he explains all of this according to Kabbalah and according to Gilgulim and everything. V'tovin, and you'll understand, Eich ozarnu Hashem Yisborach limtzei kol zeh al pi drochenu b'dvorach zal. How Hashem gave me the privilege of clarifying all of this using Rabbeinu Zal Sefer, using Likutei Moran, Shehem Rak Le'uvda Ulamaisa, where Rabbeinu Zal's words in Likutei Moran and Rav Nosson Zal's words here are practical. You can learn practical. When the Arizal gives you the Kabbalistic interpretation of this, fine, it's interesting and it's important to know, but you can't do anything with it. What does it teach me? How does it teach me what I'm supposed to do? Whereas Rav Nosson Zal, using the Likutei Moran and the Likutei Halachos, explained all of this stuff in a way where you could apply it to yourself. You know exactly how a Jew is supposed to live by this, you know, to make these tikkunim and not to mess up the way things were messed up then. The Tirei Niflois. And if you look in the Kisvei Arizal and look at his explanation, you'll see unbelievable things, you know, in how clear this all becomes. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, now you'll understand another thing. Why the Torah puts the topic of Aaron HaKohen and Miriam speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, about Moshe Rabbeinu taking a Isha Kushis, and then right afterwards we have the topic of the Meraglim going and speaking against Eretz Yisrael. Ki heim dibru aloidois ho'isha kushis ha'shalokach, shehi bas Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were speaking badly about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu took this Isha Kushis. It doesn't mean literally a black woman. It means that she was so different from other women, like black is different from white. She was so unique in her kiddush and everything. And what they were talking about, no, Tzipora, what they were talking about was that they found out that Moshe Rabbeinu had separated himself from his wife. No, it's because what happened was, this is talking about when the 70 Zakenim, you know, were chosen to be Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael. And when their wives heard about it, you know, some of them were saying, bravo, bravo, that their husbands were chosen. So Tzipora, Moshe Rabbeinu's wife, commented that, I don't know what they're so thrilled about. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen, you know, for his level of closeness with Hashem, it meant that I didn't get to be with him anymore, period. He had to set himself apart for me. So when Aaron HaKohen and Miriam heard this, they said, what are you talking about? Why? We didn't have to separate ourselves from our wives or husbands. And they commented in a sense, who does Moshe Rabbeinu think he is in separating himself from his wife? Because they assumed that they were sort of similar level to him. Aaron HaKohen and Miriam and Moshe were all Nevi'im. And they assumed that because they were not instructed by Hashem to separate from their wives or husbands, they assumed that, like, what gave Moshe Rabbeinu the right to take on this extra chumrah? And they didn't realize, who are you talking about? You're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu isn't equal to anybody, and there's nobody equal to him. And the rules that apply to him don't apply to anybody else. But in any case, they spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, ke'ilu chas v'shalom Moshe pogam b'hakovod al-yedei zeh, implying that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing something wrong related to his wife. And we said before that the wife is an Indian of kovod. There's all the meaning of showing respect for your wives, right? The Gemara says, "Kiru l'neshaychu," respect your wives. So if they were saying Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong related to his wife, they were implying he was poigim in kovod. U'bozeh pogmu b'kovod Moshe shu kovod ikdusha kovod Hashem. By doing that, they were poigim in the kovod of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the kovod of Hashem. K'moshe kosev, as Hashem blasted them afterwards, when Hashem said, "Umadua lo yereisem l'daber ba'avdi b'Moshe." How dare you not be afraid to speak against my servant Moshe? Kama Shafirish Rashi Shem, as Rashi says, Eved Melech Melech. The servant of a king is king. Somebody steps on his toes, it's like stepping on the king's toes. If it's a king's servant, you blow him away, you have the king to deal with. You understand? He's also a piece of the king in a sense. V'alkein nismecho parshas meraglim lozeh. This is why the Torah writes the parsha of the Meraglim right next to this. Ki horishoim halolu ra'u. These rishoim saw what happened to Miriam and Aaron HaKohen when they spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. And they didn't take the hint. They didn't realize how you have to watch your mouth in speaking and being poigim against kovei diktusha. Ki heim gam kein pogmu bekovei diktusha. Ayidei shoytziu dipa l'aretz Yisrael. Shesham ikar kovei diktusha. They committed the same crime by speaking against the land of Eretz Yisrael. The land of Eretz Yisrael is the center of the kovod of Kedusha, as we showed earlier, which was the same crime that Miriam and Aaron HaKohen had done. Now Rav Nosson Zal deviates for one paragraph and goes off on a little bit of a side item to explain a law in Shulchan Aruch, a different law, and show us how this law in Shulchan Aruch is tied in perfectly to our same chapter on Likutei Moran. V'zeh b'chinas mitzvas shmiras nefesh Yisrael. With this explanation, you will also understand the mitzvah in the Torah of watching, protecting a Jewish life, shehu mitzvas ma'akir, which is the mitzvah of making a fence around your roof. She mitzvah zoy shel shmiras nefesh nemra eitzel binyan bayis daiko. This mitzvah of protecting a Jewish life, not putting your life in danger, or not putting any other Jew's life in danger, is written in the Torah when it comes to a Jew building a home. As it says in the Chumash, ki sivne bayis chodosh, if a Jew will be building a new home, v'yosi somako l'gagecho, make sure you put a fence around your roof, v'loisosim domim b'beisecho, so that you won't spill any blood in your house, ki yipol hanoifel mimenu, by having someone fall off the roof and get killed in the process, chas v'shalom. V'omra zal, the Gemara learns out from that pasuk, mikan she'osur lahashoy sulam ra'ua, etc. The basoi. From here we learn out that a Jew is not allowed to keep a weak ladder in his house or any other appliance that's dangerous, that's not good, because chas shalom, somebody will come into your house, they'll use it, a chair that's weak. Somebody will sit down on the chair and the chair will break and the person will break his spine and it'll be on your head. It'll be on the owner's head. Ki bebeisoi shelodom. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains. Ki bebeisoi shelodom zehu kvoidoi. Because we know that a person's house is his palace. That's his kovoid. Ki ikar kevoidoi shel kol adam hu bebeisoi. Because the main respect of a person is the home of the person. Hu kemavur mizeh b'mokom achar, as we mentioned earlier. Hu kevoid Hashem molei habayis. And again, when you want to show respect for a person, how do you do it? By visiting him in his home. That's his center of kovoid. That's the base of his kovoid. When a person is outside, usually, he doesn't carry all of his china with him and his silver. And you come into his house, that's where you see the respectability of the person, all his fancy dishes and his chandelier. You know, each person on their level, you get to see the kavod of the person in his home. V'zeh b'chinas, as the pasuk says, kitiferes sodom lo sheves bayis. The beauty of the person is in the home that he lives in. She'ikar tifarto yukvodei shelodom hu bebeisoi. The main beauty and respect of a person is in his home. B'chinas kol kavoido bas melech penima, as the pasuk says, that the kavoid of a Jewish princess is in her home. Kishom b'chinas memshalto yukvoido, because that's where the person rules. He rules in his house. That's where his main kavod is. You get a person who's a wealthy person and he's walking in Machne Yehuda. Nobody knows who he is. People will bump into him and step on him and this. Whereas you go into this person's house and suddenly you see there's people serving him, he's got a butler and he's got nobody stepping on his toes there, because again, in his house is his palace where they best understand and respect his level of respectability. Ki kol ish soyer bevesoi, because each person is a ruler in his house, except all of us, right? This is talking about normal people. And a Jew is required to see to it, to draw this respect into his home with tremendous holiness. That it should be the kovod of Hashem that fills his home. Because when a Jew is zoichet to sanctify his house, by using his house as a place to learn in, and a place to daven in, and a place to welcome guests into, etc. By doing that, then the respectability that's in his house is Hashem's respect. And when a Jew lives that way, his house is a miniature Beis HaMikdosh. Kemuvan bedivrei Rabbeinu Zal b'haTorah bereishis. As Rabbeinu Zal discusses in chapter 67 in Likutei Moran Tanina, yesterday's Shalashuras discussion, Shekedushas Bote Yisrael Hu Bebechinas Beis HaMikdosh, that the holiness of a Jewish home is a concept of a Beis HaMikdosh. Sheshom Ikra Kovoy, the Beis Mikdash was the most respect, the place of the highest degree of Kovoy. The Bchinas Ukvoid Hashem Moleh Sabayiskan, as the Pasuk says, that Hashem's Kovoid filled the entire Beis Mikdash. V'zeh Shekosuv Rabbeinu Zal, this is why Rabbeinu Zal writes in the Kutiman, Shesuka Mesugol Lebinyan Abayis, that the mitzvah of Sukkah helps a person in building up, in building his home, in setting up a home. Rabbi Nizal quotes the Gemara, which shows that when a Jew builds a home, there are a lot of negative things that could come out of it. The Gemara says a person that people become poor from building, and the Gemara mentions that very often people get hurt, physically hurt, when construction is taking place. And Rabbi Nizal writes in the Kutimran that one of the things that serves as a tremendous protection against these things is the mitzvah of Sukkah. And this is why I've been told that especially in Eretz Yisrael, when people go to build a home or to buy an apartment, the first thing they want to look for is, where's the sukkah porch? Where's the place for the sukkah? By showing respect for that item, that serves as a protection and a blessing for the whole issue of buying a new home or building a new home. Kemoshe Kosov, as the Pasuk says, the Yaakov nosa sukkoiso, Yaakov Avinu traveled to Sukkos, Vayivne loy bayis, and he built a home. Rabbi Nizal shows the associate Sukkah and bayis, and Vayivne loy bayis, these two go together. Ki Sukkah, now Rabbi Nizal can explain what's the kesher. Ma, ki Sukkah hu bechinas ananiya kovoy, because the Gemara says that one of the reasons why we build a Sukkah is to commemorate the clouds that traveled with us in the Midbar, which were called Anane HaKovoid. Bechinas Kovoid Ikdusha, Shezeu Iker Tikkun HaBayis. We said that that's the main tikkun of a Jewish home, is that it should have this Kovoid Ikdusha in it. V'alkein hu sakono gedoilo livnois bayis. So Rav Nosson Zal says there's a tremendous danger, sakono gedoilo, in building a house. Ki Iker HaBinyin. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain why, which Rabbeinu Zal doesn't write in Likutei Moran. Ki Iker HaBinyin hu b'shvil lahamshich HaKovoid. The main reason why a person is building a home is to draw kavod. Because if I'm living without a home, if I'm living on the streets, there's nothing more disrespectful or insulting to a person than if he doesn't have a home to live in. If he's living, you know, he's homeless, a member of the homeless in a sense. Or if a person is renting a home, that's also a lower level of kavod versus a person who has his own home. He builds his own home. As we said, a person's home is his kavod. And when kavod is coming to a person, also the sakona gedoila. We learned before, the person's in tremendous danger. Because whenever a person is receiving kavod, the person is being judged at the time. Bechinas moiznei tzedek. As we said, the malchus is called a scale. Because there are times when kavod comes to a person and it gathers into itself a nefesh. Somebody dies in the process. Remember when they were building the Mishkan? The day they established the Mishkan, what happened? Boom! Not even Aviyu got blown away. Why? There was a tremendous hisgalus kavod at the time. And when there's any defectiveness in it, it gathers in the nefeshes to itself. So too when a Jew is building a home, there's this kavod coming to him, is this tremendous potential for danger that the kavod should gather into itself in the first place. Kishe'ein zoichen li zoher lekabloi karoi. If the person isn't careful to receive this kavod properly. V'alkein kol haboime mismaskein. This is why the Gemara says that whoever builds is mismaskein. And the Gemara gives two interpretations on that. Vom razal shemisaknois es ba'alehin. When a person is building something, it puts the owner in danger, in sakona. That's one interpretation. Kama shadar azal, al posuk vayiven ore miskinois leparoi. The Gemara darshan's vayiven ore miskinois. The building results in miskin, sakona, or poverty. V'alkein sukkah hisgula. Valkane, Sukkah, who bechinas tikkun ha-kavod ha-kedusha. This is why Sukkah represents a tikkun for this kavod ha-kedusha. Bechinas Anane HaKovoid, because the sukkah corresponds to the kovoid of Kedusha, those holy clouds. Shaydezeh Mitzoylin Misakonas Nefoshos. When a person has the kovoid in a holy form, in a proper form, that protects him from being harmed in any way. Ki Adarabah, Kishezechem Lesakin HaKovoid, when a Jew is zechet to perfect the kovoid, Lahamshicha L'toich HaBayis Bigdusha Koroi, and to draw the kovoid into the new home properly, not only will it not harm his nefesh, but as a result of moving into a new home, he'll get new nefeshos. It'll help him to bring new children into the world, other things like that. Or to receive new nefeshos bichlal. V'zeu b'chinas, this is what the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ashrei kol yirei Hashem, blessed is those who fear Hashem, Eshtecho kegefen poirio, b'yarkasei b'secho, Bonecho kishesilei zeisim soviv l'shulchanecho. This refers to a person's wife being as fruitful as a grapevine. Biyakasei v'secha, in your house, bonecho, and your children will be like olive, like powerful olive groves surrounding your table. Biyakasei v'secha daiko. Ramosna says, look what the pasuk says. It talks about them in your house. Ki hayorei Hashem zeicha al yedei abayis daiko lebonim kishesilei zeisim soviv l'shulchanoi. Because a person who has true fear of Hashem, which means any kovoid he receives, he doesn't receive for himself, he receives it only for Hashem, that person, through a house, through a home, can be zoche to children. Ki abonim hein b'chinas hanefoshoi shezochen laharviach al yedei kovoid. The children that are born in the new home represent those nefoshois that are added on as a result of this kovoid of a new bayis. This is referring to the house which a person receives in a positive way. And this is why the Torah warns a Jew. When you're going to be building a new home, which we explain implies you're drawing new kovoid onto yourself, you have to be very careful. You're walking a tightrope. Lishmor ma'oides hanefesh, to watch his nefesh very much. Sheloi toivad v'tistalik chas v'sholom eza nefesh miYisrael al yidei hakovoid shemamshich. To be careful that no Jewish nefesh should get killed or go lost chas v'sholom as a result of this kovoid that you're drawing. Shu b'chinas habayis sheboine, which is represented by the house that's being built. V'zehu v'osiso ma'akel agagecho. This is why the pasuk says, put a fence around the roof. So that no blood will be spilt in your house. Rav Nosson says, look at the wording. Bebeisecho daiko. So that your house won't kill anybody. Ki abayis, shul b'chinas hakovoid, shom tzrichen lishmor es hanefesh b'yoyser, shuloi tistalik chas v'shalom ha'idei hakovoid, shul b'chinas binyan abayis kanal. When building a house, which is this toisefes kovoid, you got to be very careful that it shouldn't gather in any nefoshos. And by putting a fence around the roof, or by doing any precautions in the house, when a person buys a table for the house, they're careful that the table should have rounded edges, so no baby should bump their head into the sharp edge of the table. When a person builds closets, all the different things that are being done in the house, it's done with care, that chas v'shalom nobody should get hurt or damaged in any way whatsoever by the things that he's putting into the home. And if a person follows these halachas, but being particular that anything that's being constructed in his home, he doesn't care whether it's white marble or purple marble, that's baloney, that's for the ladies to figure out. But the man of the house is being careful to see to it that there shouldn't be any aspect of sakona whatsoever, to take every iota of care and consideration to see to it, of v'loisosim domim bebeisecho, that the construction shouldn't result, chas v'shalom, in anybody being hurt in the process. The person who does that the right way can be zecha that as a result of the new biniyah, there should be a toisefes of nefoshos to that family or to Klal Yisrael. Amen v'amen. Baruch Hashem.